Joining us in studio is the Secretary of the State, Stephanie Thomas, and I am very glad to have you here. I know we've talked on the air over the phone, but to have you in person is a real pleasure. Thank you so much for being here.
I'm so excited to be here. Great to see you.
Yeah, good to see you as well. So, Secretary of the State, I'm going to dive right into it. I asked you to come in today because I want to talk about Bridgeport. It was highlighted last month again, the issues of absentee ballot fraud and the lack of voter confidence because five people faced a judge. They are facing charges right now. It's still the investigation kind of ongoing. Those cases are pending. But it's all tying back to the 2023 primary mayoral election in Bridgeport. Yeah. And so I think one of the first questions, do you feel like since that happened and it was proven on camera that there was some kind of fraud happening, do you feel like we've addressed it well enough so that history doesn't repeat itself?
Thanks, Melissa. You know, it doesn't feel like it, but I believe everything that's happening is a sign of hope, right? People have been arrested. And I have to say, everyone's innocent until proven guilty. That's the system in America, right?
Right.
But since that time, between the work of our election monitors in Bridgeport since the fall of 2023, we have changed many procedures and processes and done some trainings. Several laws were passed last session, from required maintenance of video. All drop boxes have to be under video surveillance. Changing the window of when applications are available for absentee ballots, on and on. We made a lot of changes that I think are cause for hope, and we have some more changes pending in front of the legislature currently.
I don't know what those specific changes are only because I'm not up in Hartford, but are any of those changes, do they include eliminating absentee ballot drop boxes in general? I think that continues to be a real question. Why do we even still have the boxes?
No, I personally haven't seen any proposals about that, but I will say I remind people often, some of the same people who were arrested were accused of the exact same crimes years before we had drop boxes. So I think people are eager to rush to, like, drop boxes are the issue. But we are trying to solve some of the issues that have been enduring, allegedly, over several decades. So I don't think drop boxes, removing them or not, will not be a panacea.
Okay, so point taken. And I'm curious, Secretary of the State, then, so what is sort of a solution? And again, I know that Bridgeport has sort of been not the only municipality to have fraud happen or detected, but it overwhelmingly has seen history repeat itself. So what would be, in your professional opinion, a solution to this? I mean, as you mentioned, yes, there were people who are facing charges for 2023 who also faced charges for 2019. And when the former race was going on between incumbent Mayor Joe Ganim and at the time a state senator, Marilyn Moore. So then what are some solutions for Bridgeport?
And by the way, like, we always talk about 2019, but as I said, some of these first cases came about
before
30
even 2019.
Years ago.
Correct. You're absolutely correct.
However, to me, the best solution at this time is something I talk about incessantly, public education. We need whistleblowers in Bridgeport. Just by having our election monitors on site for about a year and a half, we were able to refer, I think it was about 20 cases, because some voters reached out to us directly because they knew we were there. But also, we saw an uptick in cases just because we were talking about it a lot. We were on the ground in Bridgeport. One of the bills up for consideration this session, I've asked for a continuation of the election monitor, but also to allow those funds to be used for a public campaign, a bilingual campaign, because I don't think we'll see enough referrals, enough arrests, enough accountability if we don't have whistleblowers. We need the people being taken advantage of to know that they're being taken advantage of. If you look through the documentation, in some of these cases, people don't know they're committing they're helping people commit fraud. Someone comes to them and says, you can do this, or you sign it this way, or this is the process. Trust me, I know. So we have to educate them to blow the whistle.
I also think, too, on the topic of education, Secretary of the State, I had a conversation actually in Bridgeport last fall with a lot of the teachers. And we were talking about the brokenness at that time of the Board of Education. And when I was talking to, I mean, this was a room of maybe 12, 24 teachers, maybe. I had said, well, you guys know that residents and people like you, you guys vote in your Board of Education members. And the and again, these are very brilliant and amazing teachers. But it was like this moment of, well, I don't either show up to vote because I don't think it matters, or I don't think these races get enough publicity. And you and I have talked about that before, the importance of, you know, if you have an issue with people on your board of ed. So I agree. I think education in so many different facets with voting is a real issue we need to obviously focus on. What about penalties, though? So when we talk about, you know, people who have been repeat offenders, what's interesting is these five who faced a judge last month, they're some of them are the same people from 2019. These are people who can we go, oh, this name again. I mean, is it cause for us to say, you know, once you've sort of, you know, been investigated and it was proven that you've done something wrong, that you should lose almost the rights to be in the political realm of that city or town? I don't know if that's going too far, but it's like if we've got bad actors who continue to do this, who cares if they keep facing charges? They just kind of keep getting away with it.
I will say there are penalties related to being in the election space, right? So most people don't realize there are penalties that could be up to 5 years in jail, up to $5,000 per incident. So per ballot, that's steep. You know, we're looking at these cases are over something like 150 cases of fraud. That's a lot of jail time. It adds up. But those there are laws on the books already about, you know, if people are convicted of certain election crimes, they would be barred from working or handling ballots, etc., in the future. Another issue that hasn't been talked about publicly so much, there is someone who had already been convicted of something, served time, but still on occasion was in a supervised absentee ballot voting role. So these are the types of loopholes that our office and the legislature are trying to close. They don't often get big headlines, but...
No, but I think that matters. Yeah. That's why I think these conversations matter. I mean, I hate to name drop, but I'm going to do it. And I know you won't, which is perfectly fine, and you don't need to. Wanda Jeter-Pataki, to me, I was shocked that after what was proven in court, I mean, to the point that a judge had to reorder a brand new primary and a brand new election. To me, I can't believe she was still able to become the vice chair of the Democratic Party. That's wild to me. And I'm just wondering, how do you block something like that? When, again, it was proven. I mean, it was literally proven.
I'm not a lawyer, so I'm not sure how you block it, right? You know, it doesn't seem like a practice that I would follow, but, you know, I think this is the importance of figuring out what laws need to be on the books. You know, I do believe, again, someone is innocent until proven guilty, so that's part of the complication, right? But all of these positions are positions that people vote on. And unfortunately, this culture, and I've heard this from many people in Bridgeport, has convinced many people to step back instead of leaning in. So if more people showed up to vote in any election, I think that starts to change the tide a little bit.
We've got the Secretary of the State here, Stephanie Thomas, in studio. And I want to switch gears really quickly, Secretary of the State, only because this was brought to my attention this week. So we've been covering the special election that's coming up in April, April 22nd. This is for the 113th state representative seat. It was formerly held by Jason Perillo, who's now a state senator. and we've had both candidates on, everything like that. But it came to my attention that some Catholics and Jews are very upset about the timing of this. You're shaking your head. So you've heard about this story.
Of course, yes.
Okay, so I had somebody on yesterday, Chris Healy, who I know you're probably familiar with as well. And when I asked, because the governor had kind of said this is partially Jason Perillo's fault for exiting the seat, and you know, the timeline then brings it to April 22nd. And I thought, well, that's kind of rough to say. I mean, he won an election. He filed the paperwork the next day. And so he followed, I thought, procedure correctly. We also are in the middle of a legislative session. We want to fill that seat. Chris Healy said that this actually fell on your office and that it delayed 5 days getting to the governor, which then essentially made us land in this holy period. True or false?
False. It's funny. I wrote to Chris, but like it's one of these timing issue things. The same, like we all, there are statutes that determine all of this timing, right? And we received the letter on, I believe, a Friday. It was delivered to our elections department. It just so happened the person who would have read that was out of the office. It was like at a doctor's appointment in the afternoon. I think she got it. It got to us at like 3 p.m. on Friday or something. So Monday morning, it went to the governor's office. He also has a certain time limit. So it just so happened to fall that way. I guess, Monday morning quarterbacking, if you look back, someone, I don't know who that someone is, could have said, hey, Jason, like, let's think about when you submit that letter, because if he had done it 2 or 3 days later or maybe a few days earlier, but I'm not sure who that person is. It's just unfortunate. And the silver lining, if you will, is that for voters, of course, early voting is just an additive, right? It's something to help people vote. They can obviously still vote on election day, which is outside of the holiday window. For election workers, I had pledged immediately, like, I will do whatever I can personally to help recruit moderators, poll workers.
So, like, if they have holiday obligations, you're going to find fill-ins for them.
Exactly, exactly. So I think we're all making the best out of a situation that probably was not foreseen by the legislature.
Well, and I think, too, I know Chris had brought up on the show, we knew that there was a very good chance, if not a 50% chance, that Jason Perillo would get that Senate seat. But it sounds like a very rare circumstance. You've got a state rep going for a special election state Senate seat and the timing of it. I felt like, wow, the blame going to Jason Perillo. I think I don't know the timeline again of everything. But
I mean, honestly, I don't think anyone's to blame in this situation. Like I said, we're all living within parameters. It's easier always to sit on the sidelines and say something. But I think we're all making the best out of a challenging situation. I always tell everybody, I believe in civic literacy and civic engagement. Right now, the legislature is in session. So I think we missed the committee deadline, but legislators should be approached to maybe think about adopting a law or changing the early voting law. I believe there's a public hearing either Friday or Monday about early voting changes. Show up and testify and talk about this. That's the way to solve it.
Mm-hmm. And also, really quick, speaking of the special election, if people need to know anything, because we are obviously going to keep highlighting it here. I know it's an odd time to have an election, but it is happening. Mm-hmm. It's a very important election. Where do people go for more information on everything with early voting, polling locations, all of that?
Myvote.ct.gov. All the time for all your election information.
Secretary of the State Stephanie Thomas, it was an honor to have you in studio, and I thank you so much for your time.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.